chapter 2. And I hope you have your Bibles with you. We are looking at many, many verses. We have a chart. It doesn't look quite like mine, but it looks like this. And if you have not received that, we'd like you to get one. Brother Harnden has those. If you did not get one of these and you'd like to have one, now we don't want them, you know, just to be coloring pages or anything. There's not much to color. But the back is blank. You could take notes. You could draw pictures. You could draw pastor with hair. Handsome. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. You're a wise, wise man. But anyway, if you need that, raise your hand. We'll get those to you. This is quite a Bible study, and I made it. I always make these things more difficult than probably they need to be. I taught this or preached it on about 8 years ago here, and I had several people asking about it again, some new people and some who'd lost their chart. Well, I have revamped the chart because there were some mistakes that I had made. Not necessarily, you know, wrong thing, just things didn't line up like I wanted them to. And so anyway, this is the New American Standard version of the chart. New American Standard, New American Rogers version, I guess, of the chart. This chart is not inspired or anything like that. Just trying to, all I tried to do is make it kind of easy to see how things line up. And how they might have lined up. Now, I'm going to tell you, and the reason I made this so difficult on myself is I got my chart and I started looking at it again and looking at Scripture and everything. And I just, you know, I just want to make sure myself that I understand. And it makes it difficult because, you know, Bible times, things are said, things are done. And we just have to take the Scripture and kind of line everything up. And there are some amazing truths in the crucifixion and resurrection that are such a blessing. Jesus dying on the cross, just some amazing things to look at as far as time. And so that's kind of why I did a little chart like this. Really, I was going to do this on a Wednesday night. It's a little more casual, I suppose. But because my Wednesday nights got in trouble on those. I've got a special speaker coming this Wednesday. I thought, well, I'll see what happens tonight. You folks look intelligent. Well, maybe, but you don't have to be, you know, that intelligent. You just kind of follow along, make notes, write things down. If you have a question, write it down. And there's going to be questions. I mean, there always are, just because of the topic. But here's where we start. We're going to start with John chapter 2, verse 18. And the scripture said, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Father, I pray that you will help us to always believe the scripture and the word that Jesus says. Help it to be our anchor. Help it to be always where we go when we have a problem, when we have a need, when we have anything at all that is a question in our lives. Help it always to be that we can go to the scripture and that we can believe every word that Jesus said and every scripture that is said. We know that this caused the disciples to have the strength to continue to serve God and to go out and win many, many people to Christ and eventually to give their lives. And so I pray that we would be that settled on the word of God in our own hearts and our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we've all grown up, or most did, especially if you didn't grow up in a Baptist church, and even some Baptist churches would go along with the idea that Jesus died on Friday night and was buried before sunset on Friday and then rose again sometime Sunday morning. And everybody just kind of accepted that. That is a Roman Catholic teaching. I'm not saying that they're the only ones that teach it. It is kind of where it started. And the idea that Jesus was crucified on Friday, that is why they celebrate and call it Good Friday. And then we have Easter, of course, on Sunday. And again, you know, so many would say, well, really, why does it matter? And I'm going to tell you this. It's kind of like I don't know what exact day everything took place as far as the date. Just like Christmas, I celebrate his birth. Amen. At Easter, I celebrate that he rose again. I know he died on the cross. And so, you know, I'm not sure how, as far as the calendar is concerned, what day of the week, as far as our days of the week, it actually was and all that. But I think that we can say that it did not happen the way that the Catholics have taught us. I think we can say that, and that's what I want to show to you. But in the middle of all that, it's not just some, we're gonna prove that it was on Wednesday. There's a lot of wonderful teaching that goes along with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus that is just, it's so blessed to see it and to study it in the Scripture. And so I've just written down six facts, all right? And I could have said seven. The seventh fact, of course, is 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Go ahead and look at that real quick. Keep your place in John. But I did not call this a fact just because, though to me it is a fact because God said it. But 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says this in the second part. Well, purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And one of the beautiful things about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross is if you can get it in your mind and you can get where you kind of follow. Now, my timeline, I've got notes written all over it. But if you can follow a timeline, you can actually put yourself into those days. Again, I'm not sure, you know, as far as our calendar, what those days were, but I'm pretty certain about the Jewish calendar as far as the Hebrew week. And if you could put yourself, because there was a day God said that you would choose a lamb. There was a day that they would choose a lamb, and then they would watch that lamb for a period of time, and we'll get into all of that, and they would watch that lamb, they would inspect that lamb, they would make sure that that lamb it has no spot, no defilement at all. It had to be a perfect lamb. And if you could just try to imagine now that in Jerusalem, the people are doing that, and they are choosing a lamb. Because Passover is coming. And the people are going to choose this lamb. They're going to watch this lamb for 4 days. They're going to inspect this lamb. They're going to make sure there it doesn't limp at all. They're going to make sure it has no disease. They're going to make sure this lamb is a perfect lamb. And after those 4 days take place, on the night that is known as Passover night, they are going to kill that lamb. And if you can just imagine now, as we study this, that at the very time, lambs all over Jerusalem, all over the land, lambs are being killed. Jesus is dying on the cross at the very time. It is an amazing thing, and we're gonna take you back to that, I believe, with the timeline. Again, my thinking is I think I can prove that Jesus died on Wednesday. But again, the Wednesday is not the key. The key is, well, fact number one, and that's the number three. Fact number one is three, over and over and over. Here we have, back in our text, John chapter 2 and verse 18, very, very clearly. And by the way, this is very important here. I think it was Paul Potter came in. He said, well, Pastor, what does it matter? And so I had to quiz him a little bit. And he said, it does matter. I mean, he finally said, I see it now. What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? What sign are you going to show? Jesus gave this. He said this, destroy this temple. Now, I believe as he said that, he was pointing at himself. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, again, they said, well, the 46 years was the temple in building. Jesus made it clear. Verse 21, he spake of the temple of his body. Now, here's what I'm saying. This is why it's important, because when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them. And so what he said actually mattered. It's not something we can just say, well, he rose from the dead, it shouldn't matter. I mean, it's no big deal that whether it's 2 days, 1 day, or but if Jesus said 3 days, isn't 3 days important? And this is what I say. And again, I'm not mad at you. You know what? If you take Friday off, we have Friday off from school just because it was an excuse for a day off. Amen? Because we haven't had enough this year. We're just trying to figure out how to get a few more days off. But no. But when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples. See, there are certain things that the Bible says, and certain things that Jesus said, and certain things that we read, and we believe it, and it changes our lives. Well, something here was very, very special. I mean, it happened according to what Jesus said. Now, number one, because he rose from the dead. But I believe it also happened just like he said, and that mattered to him. But again, 3 days. In 3 days, I will raise it up. Okay? So 3 days is important. Now, look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 12. And you can write these down. I haven't written down. I had to write very, very little, which is not typical for me. I usually write very large. Matthew 12 and verse 38. Again, keep in mind, three. And I just wrote fact number one is the number three. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Okay, here again, here's a sign. Okay, in other words, this Jesus, obviously, he's not going to just shrug it off. He's not going to just give them some general little idea. I mean, he's going to give them something that they can actually trust in, they can actually believe in. And so he tells them this, verse 39. He answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it. But he said, here's what I'll give you. I'll give you a sign, the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now again, 3 days and three nights. Okay? Now, to some people, that's not important. To Jesus, I believe it was important. Or he'd have just said, so shall the Son of Man, as Jonas was in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But he didn't say just that, did he? He gave us 3 days and three nights. Now again, I'm sure it's not going to be an anchor point for your salvation. I'm not trying to get to that place. I'm just saying it is important. He said 3 days and three nights. All right? Very important. Matthew 27, verse 62. And there's many verses. And you know, again, we don't have to look up a whole bunch. I'm just showing you this number three, Matthew 27 and verse 62. Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver, they're talking about Jesus here, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Okay, so here's a bunch of heathen quoting Jesus. They are saying, well, we remember he said this, that after 3 days, I'll rise again. And by the way, they are taking it very seriously. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible says, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And so they said, they took it very seriously what Jesus said, because they thought that the disciples would come and steal his body, so people would follow him and all that. And by the way, they did end up lying about that very thing. So, again, after 3 days, it is important. It's the number three. It stands out. you can't just ignore it. Now, there's some people say, well, you know, there were 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, you know what? If you wanna count on that, that's all right. I mean, that's up to you. I think you will have problems with some of the other facts that I'm going to show to you, and because you know it is true. Friday's a day, Saturday's a day, Sunday's a day. Right? We all know that. Okay. Like I say, that's up to you. But let me just try to show you some things that Scripture gives us an idea. Now, look at Genesis 1 and verse 3. And this isn't anything new here. And this is going to seem very, very simple. You might want to write it down. Again, I don't know that this will be an anchor to your salvation. I can tell you this, Jesus being the Passover is an anchor. I can tell you him dying on the cross as the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, that's an anchor. Amen, I promise you that. But all this, these little nuggets are also, to me, they're a blessing. Genesis 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And notice how God gives his days, which is the exact way the Jewish calendar does their days, and the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and morning. Hence, you have each day is an evening and a morning. All right, a Jewish day starts with the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, and ends then the next evening. All right, so that is a day, evening to evening. And you see that on your chart. Again, that's not real new. That's something people know and we've talked about before. But here's the thing, and we know this. Everybody knows this. Light is day and darkness is night. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. All right, we got that. Look at John 11, verse 9. You are going to love this too. John 11, verse 9. John chapter 11, 9. Again, I would encourage you to write these things down, study them out. You'll get a headache. John 11, 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Huh. Isn't that something? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. Wait a minute. 12 hours in a day. How many hours are in a day? Some say 12, some say 24. Oh, there's 24 hours in a day, but Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, he's talking about the day, which is the light part, and then that would mean there's how many hours in the dark part? 12 hours. See, we are learning how to add, subtract, multiply, divide. Therefore, if there's 12 hours in a day, there's got to be 12 hours in a night. Isn't that good? That is so deep. See, you're glad you came tonight, right? Well, you might get some snacks, but it's also glad that you came. So, here's the thing. Jesus said he was in the heart of the earth. How many days? How many nights? 3 days, 3 nights. Now, to me, and I didn't even have to get out my calculator. I took 3 days times 12. Equals 36, right? 3 days times 12 hours per day equals 36 hours. Did anybody else get that? Where's one of our third graders? Do you know that? 12 times 3 equals what? 36. Very good. Thank you. We probably have second graders that could get that. Probably no sixth graders, but no, we have some sixth graders. All right, 12 times 3, 3 days times 12 hours is 36 hours. Now, 3 nights times 12 hours equals? Very good. So we have 36 hours of night and we have 36 hours of day equals? 72 hours. Very good. Isn't that amazing? You didn't know you could learn all this in church, did you? Now, to me, Jesus said 3 days and 3 nights. I would have any trouble with anything that showed it less than 72 hours. Personally, that's just me. I would have trouble. So if you look at your little chart, and I know it's hard to tell, but if you go to what is considered Friday, or let's say 16, I'm sorry, let's go to 16 Nisan. All right? How many of you see that? It says the sixth day. Okay? If you go to 16 Nisan, which would be, we'll say that's the Jewish Friday, and you have Jesus crucified at 3 o'clock. By the way, this we do know. He dies at 3 o'clock. We know he's off of the cross by 6 o'clock. All right? We'll show you that later on. And I have all these verses written down. But if you were to count that out, can you get, even if you start at 3 o'clock on 16 Nisan, and you go to, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right before evening, right before the beginning of 17 Nisan, okay? You go 3 o'clock until, let's say, until midnight of 17 Nisan. How many hours is that? 9? Good. It's 9. Okay? And if, well, anyway, it ends up being 39 hours, best you can get. 39 hours if he died Friday night. Now, some people say, well, he died Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 3 days. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm looking for 72 hours, though. I'm looking for 72 hours. And there are a lot of good people that think he died on Thursday. And I see what they're saying and everything. But again, I only come up with 63 hours if he died on Thursday. All right? So I'm looking for 72 hours. Now, again, I'm not going to arm wrestle with anybody or fight with you or anything like that. I'm just saying there is a significance to the 3 days and the 3 nights. There is a significance. And if, again, you go to the Friday crucifixion, and again, it's okay if somebody wants to believe that way, but you still cannot get 3 days and 3 nights out of a Friday night, even if you want to cheat and say Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days. You don't get 3 days and 3 nights. You don't have, it doesn't happen. It is not there. All right? And so if it's not there, then we've got to look further. And that's what I did. I had to look further. And in the looking, it became a very exciting study. And so fact number one is the number 3. All right, 3 days and 3 nights. Again, other verses talk about after 3 days or in 3 days, different things like that, the third day since, and different things like that. But again, we have to go back to Jesus saying, okay, here's a sign, and the sign is 3 days, 3 nights. I think it's significant. All right, then we come to fact number 2. And here's where it starts getting, to me, you know, why people so easily thought, well, it has to be Friday. Okay, and why is that? Somebody tell me why they thought it had to be Friday. Brother Steve. Pardon? Day before the Sabbath. Okay, let me give you the verse. Here's fact number 2. Mark 15 and verse 42. Mark 15, 42. Now, again, I know you have the chart in front of you and you see all these different things that are written down. Mark 15 and verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. We know this. We know fact number 2. Jesus died the day before the Sabbath. In the evening. We know that. All right? That is a fact. Just like it's a fact that the number 3 is significant. 3 days, 3 nights. It is a fact that Jesus died, clearly, the day before the Sabbath in the evening. Okay, now, if you look at the sixth day again, 16 Nisan. By the way, that's not a car. That's the name of a month. All right? 16 Nisan, if you look at that, is that the day before the weekly Sabbath? It is, because the weekly Sabbath is the seventh day or 17 Nisan, all right? And so a lot of people said, well, it has to be on Friday because that's the day before the weekly Sabbath. Ah, but they forget that there was another Sabbath day. And there are more Sabbaths than just the weekly Sabbath. There were many Sabbaths. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 23, I believe it is, there's a succession of different Sabbath days, special days that are Sabbath days, in days that are set aside as days that people could not work, and they were special holy days. And if you look at 15 Nisan, you'll see that it is a high Sabbath. All right? So what I'm calling the day before Wednesday, or I'm sorry, the day after Wednesday, or Thursday, that is 15 Nisan. That is a high Sabbath. Now, there is scripture to back that up. John 19, verse 31. Look at it. John 19, 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Okay, now again, that is exactly what Mark said, but now it goes a little bit further. It says, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And so Jesus has died on the cross. The other two have died also. And now the idea is we have to get them off of the cross and get them buried before the beginning of the Sabbath. But the Bible does not call it a weekly Sabbath. The Bible says it's a high day. It's a high Sabbath. And the high Sabbath, according to the scripture, is the Sabbath that takes place after the night of the Passover. And so that, in this sense, that was 15 Nisan, which we're calling here the fifth day. All right, so again, we see that Jesus, you notice where I have him crucified in down in the about the, well, it'll be the first full line there. You see he's crucified. And that is the evening of the day before the high Sabbath. Okay, again, you can go along. You can say, well, I still think it was Friday before the weekly Sabbath, and I don't think you'll die and go to hell because of that. I think you, as long as you're saved, you'll go to heaven. But it is something. If you take 3 days, 3 nights, you take the Sabbath. And the fact that God is very, very careful to tell us that it is the day before the Sabbath, and that happened to be a high Sabbath, I think we can very, very clearly see a significance as far as the crucifixion being on what we call Wednesday night, what they would have called the 14 Nisan. All right? We're not going to, I thought about it, letting people ask questions, but we can't really do that. If you have questions, write them down, and I'll be glad to talk to you about those. Now, so we have on the 14 Nisan, all right, that's an important day. And that is a scriptural day. That is a day that is mentioned in Scripture. It is a special day. Turn, if you will, to Exodus 12 and verse 6. Exodus 12, 6. Again, I don't believe it's just lucky that it turned out on the 14 Nisan. It had to be the 14 Nisan. Exodus 12, 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That month being Nisan. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Has to be, had to be, on 14 Nisan. Okay, Jesus, the lamb had to die. We know that that night, 14 Nisan, that night, lambs were being killed. They were being sacrificed. It was taking place, and the people would then eat the Passover meal. All right? So, again, that is important. Now, here's another thing that I learned in the study, recent study, is this. The slaying of the Passover. Okay, Passover could refer to the lamb. It can refer to the feast. It can refer to the time of year. Okay, it is not, you know, there are, it's used interchangeably. The slaying of the Passover, the Passover feast, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread often to the Jews were looked at as one festival. Okay, these became lumped together. And this is why sometimes it can be confusing when you're studying this out and you're looking at all these different days and the terminologies that are used, because we're going to kill a lamb. The lamb is called Passover. But every meal that is eaten during Passover time is also called Passover. And then there is the actual Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All of this is going on. This is all one festival. You and I, we don't understand that. We have our Christmas dinner. But wait a minute. Do you ever have Christmas dinner on another day? Well, we do. We have Christmas dinner sometimes Christmas Eve. Sometimes we have Christmas dinner a week later. You know, you never know. One time when my wife wasn't here, the kids and I, we ate pizza, and when she came home, we had a big Christmas dinner a month later. Decorated and everything. She had no idea that we didn't decorate until she came home. But now you know who we decorate for. Luke 22, verse 1. And here's kind of helps us. The scripture kind of helps us with this. Luke 22 and verse 1. Luke 22, 1. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And again, you know, there would be some that, wait a minute, I thought the lamb was called the Passover. Well, it is. Wait a minute, I thought that every meal is called. It is. But also this time of year, it was Passover year, it was Passover time of year. And so all of it is that whole thing can be lumped into the Passover. All right? So that is something else that, again, it will help us to understand a little bit of the thinking of that time. All right? All right, let's see. What's another little thing that I wrote down? Okay, here's something. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. Now it's going to get confusing. Is anybody really confused? Okay, we're all right. Good. Because I just want to give you this, because these are things that I had to consider, and I had to study and look up, and some of the things go all the way. And I know, how many of you read Josephus? Anybody read Josephus? Do you on a regular basis, Brother Chase? You have read it. All right. Most of us don't, and I don't typically. He's one of the fathers, the church fathers, and there's writings and different things. And again, it just goes back a little closer to that time to give you an understanding. And some of these things are explained very well in those writings. And I'm just saying, you don't have to read those things to have your life changed. But it's okay. All right? It's okay to study. And the Bible does say we need to study. Mark 14, 12 talks about this, says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" Now this gets a little bit confusing here because of the Lord's Supper. And it can be a little bit confusing because we actually have three references that show that Jesus and his disciples are eating their Passover meal. But they are eating their Passover meal well before others are eating their Passover meal, at least according to the scripture. And there is a significance, I believe, to that. And I think it comes down to all of these different little things that were taking place as far as the customs and a meal being a Passover meal, though it may not have been the Feast of the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread or that type of thing. And I'll explain that in just a minute as to why that even matters. But you'll notice here in Mark 4, it says the first day of unleavened bread. In fact, Brother Harnden came and was talking to me about that. The first day of unleavened bread. And it became, and this is something that in the studying, because I had a little trouble with that first day of unleavened bread, because that puts everything on the 15th, Nisan, and Jesus is already in the tomb. Not because he had to die in 3 days, but because of everything else that the Bible talks about. And so I had to try to figure that out. And let me just explain. I have written down here the day of preparation. A day of preparation came before a Sabbath because you can't work on the Sabbath. So the day of preparation came so that everything would get done for the Sabbath day. And on the 14 Nisan, the scripture tells us that it was a day to get all leaven out of your house. Everything. Okay, you remember the scripture? Look at Exodus 12 and verse 18. Exodus 12, 18. I've just written these down. And as I was reading them and studying them, it was a help to me. Exodus 12 and verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, okay, there we are, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even. And so here is this, now we have all of this unleavened bread. This says on the 14th day of the month, but then it later on says 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, verse 19. And in fact, you end up, and this is exactly what the father said, Josephus said, that eventually the Jews actually had 8 days where they called it unleavened bread because they had to get the leaven out on the 14th day. All right, in the 14th day at night, they ate unleavened bread. And so they ended up lumping all of that together. And I know you would maybe have to see that yourself in the writings and that. But I only say that because it helped me to understand what Jesus was doing at the Lord's Supper. And I will get to that in a minute. Look at Luke 22, 7. I told you this part was going to be confusing. It does get easier. Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And see, this is what I said. This is where I ran in. I thought, okay, wait a minute. If the day, okay, you have 15 Nisan, Feast of Unleavened Bread. We know that is the day. That's the scripture says, 15 Nisan. But now, very, very clearly, the Bible says that in verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. We know that's the day before. We know it's the 14th because that's when the Passover's killed. That's when the lamb is killed. All right? So we have to get in the mind of the Jews and understand that they may call something a first day of, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it is officially the official day, but it's the first day where they started eating unleavened bread. The official day is 15 Nisan, but they started eating unleavened bread. They got all the leaven out of their houses on 14 Nisan. And that's probably about as clear as mud. All right? So the Feast of Unleavened Bread didn't officially start until what is marked as 15 Nisan. Again, look at Leviticus 23, verse 5. And maybe you want to just write them down because I am going fast. Leviticus 23, 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Okay? Cut, dried, we know that. 14 Nisan, that is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. We know that. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. But we also know they ate unleavened bread also on the 14th Nisan. Is everybody with me on that? You understand that? So we know that. So for them to refer to a day, this being a day of unleavened bread, that's okay. That's how they looked at it because it was the day of getting all the leaven out of their houses. It was the day. Very, very important. All right? And so John 18, verse 28. John 18, verse 28. And I'm still on fact number two, talking about that day before the Sabbath. John 18 and verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, watch this now, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, here is our one verse right here that really helps us, it clears up, because these Jews are going to eat the Passover. Jesus is already on trial. He has already eaten the Lord's Supper with his disciples. Okay, just stay with me here, all right? He has already eaten the Lord's... What did Jesus eat? Three passages refer to Jesus and his disciples preparing for Passover. No doubt about it. But there is no way that it is the same thing that these Jews are talking about. They are going to eat the Passover, and this is while Jesus is on trial. In other words, they want Jesus on, they want him crucified. They want him, in the tomb and everything, so it doesn't mess up their feast. They don't want, that's going to ruin everything. Oh, come on, this Jesus, we got to get this done, And they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Why? Well, because it's gonna mess them up, and they won't be able to eat the Passover. So I say all that. You'll notice I have the Last Supper, Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30. I have the Last Supper, it would be the beginning of 14 Nisan, probably around 7, 8 o'clock. Somewhere around there, and I believe that is when the Last Supper took place. But it was Jesus and his disciples. It was called Passover. It was a meal. But I believe this with all my heart. I believe it did not include the roasted lamb. Now I'll get to that. That's not, maybe not tonight, but I will get to that. Because it is so important to understand that. And I think it is beautiful. I'll just give you a hint. The truth is, what is Jesus doing at the Last Supper? Now, I think they had the unleavened bread. We know that. I believe they had the juice. We know that. No question about that. But what is he saying to them? What is he teaching his disciples? That he's the Passover. Take, eat. This is my body. Yeah. This is my body. It is, to me, when I, that finally kicked into me, I got those chills running up and down, because I thought, that's what he's doing. Because I couldn't figure out why would they be eating the Passover? Why would they be doing that at the wrong time of the day? They can't be. And the other Jews, and to back it up is John chapter 18 and verse 28, where they, during Jesus' trial, they don't want to go in the judgment hall because it'll mess up them eating Passover later on. Everybody with me on that? It's just an amazing thing. And again, you can get that whether you go along with the three days and three nights or not. It is just one of the things tucked away in the Scripture that to me is just an amazing thing. It's a blessing. And so, y'all to write that down. It is not, again, what are these Jews concerned about? Well, they're concerned about eating the Passover after Jesus is on the cross, taken down. They want to have their Passover. Hey, the family's all there. We have the lamb prepared. Everything's done. And we want to eat the Passover meal. All right? And then one other thing under fact number two, and that is John 13 and verse 29. Here's another proof as to 14 Nisan being the day before the high Sabbath. John 13 and verse 29, you're going to like this. It's after the Lord's Supper, and Judas is going to betray Jesus. And verse 29 gives us a little hint of their thinking. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Very, very interesting. Now, again, What feast are they talking about? Well, it's got to be the feast later on. The meal that Jesus ate with his disciples, it was not the Passover meal, the Passover feast, because this is after they ate that meal. This is after the Lord's Supper, and therefore, again, just one of those things that backs up. This was the day of preparation, and by the way, Judas now, by the time they are eating the Passover, we all know Judas is going to betray Jesus and all that. So fact number two is 14 Nisan is, it does satisfy being the day before a Sabbath. It's not the weekly Sabbath, it's the high Sabbath, and it is the day that is considered the Passover, which is a part of the whole feast, the whole Passover feast, and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me give you one more fact, and then we'll close. Fact number three, and again, I'm going to go back 3 days. I'm going to, and this is the simple fact. This is one that I don't think anybody ever argues. Matthew 28 and verse 1. Matthew 28 and verse 1. Don't think anybody can argue this. In the end of the Sabbath, now this is talking about the weekly Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Key verse right there. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So it is the end of the Sabbath. What's that mean? It means it's after 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, as we would look at it, or after 6 o'clock, 17 Nisan, it has become the next day, which is 18 Nisan, and it is the first day. And it's very important. It says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. First day of the week, that time, 18 Nisan, and so we know that. We know first day of the week is when they found the empty tomb. Okay, that doesn't mean that's when Jesus rose. It just means that's when they found the empty tomb. John 20 and verse 1. John chapter 20 and verse 1. Again, I want you to think about the people that are involved in this and all of the things that they are going through. And the Jewish people, as they have celebrated these feasts all their lives, they've grown up, just like we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, and just, you know, we'll celebrate birthdays and all that. Well, I mean, they have celebrated. They've gone through this all these times. They have experienced the feast of the Passover. They've experienced the Feast of Unleavened Bread. No, the 14 Nisan, the day came, they cleaned out all the leaven. They made sure there was no leaven anywhere in their house, because that's what they did. That's what God said to do. And they have celebrated all their lives. They've celebrated, and all of a sudden now, boy, it's just, isn't it? It sure is lucky. They picked this time for Jesus to die on the cross. But we know there's no such thing as luck. We know that that has nothing. It just amazes me. God, in His planning, He put everything together. And it even gets better. Let me give you this and we'll be done. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. When was it? It was the first day of the week. So we know this is a fact. It was the first day when they saw the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. We know that to be a fact. And so if you look at the little line, and I should have put a line at the beginning and the end. If you look at the little line at the top where I have 3 days and three nights, you see that line right there? And that coincides with sometime before, and you'll see down on the other line with the dots on it, the first line with dots on it, Christ was crucified, and then he was in the tomb. You see the two lines there? Again, you know, 3 o'clock, we know that he died. He was in the tomb before 6 o'clock. We know that for a fact. And that line up above the word Wednesday, that starts there, and it goes all the way to sometime in the evening, again, after 3 days, 3 nights, sometime in the evening of 17 Nisan, and somewhere in there, and I show a line with an arrow for the resurrection. I show a line with an arrow, and then I have the words before dawn. Sometime after the 3-day period, sometime before dawn, Jesus came out. He rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. The stone wasn't rolled away for Jesus. He walked through the stone. The stone was rolled away so that the people could see in and see that it was empty. And sometime before dawn, I personally think it was 17 Nisan, sometime after he was put in the tomb that and after he died. But again, you see that. The resurrection took place, the stone was rolled away, and then the people came and they saw. And we know they saw that on the first day, which is what we call Sunday, and we know that to be a fact. John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, this is what I like, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Same day at evening, that is, and you'll see that I didn't mark that on yours, but somewhere in the evening of the first day, sometime around then, Jesus appeared to his disciples. The doors were shut and he walked in. And all of that took place. But so we know this. We know 3 days, 3 nights. If it is, in fact, talking about 72 hours, you've got to start with the first day, which is 18 Nisan, and you have to go back 3 days, 3 nights, and that takes you to 14 Nisan, whereby he would be crucified. He'd be put in the tomb before the before 6 o'clock, which would begin the Sabbath day, which is 15 Nisan. And that goes together. The day before the Sabbath is the day before a high Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath. And very, very beautiful picture of again, the disciples, remember, they heard him say it. Now they've seen it, and they remembered it. And it meant something to them because they know all this. They're not like us. How many of you have ever had a Passover feast? I don't know if you have or not, Harold. But anyway, you know, we don't do this. But these people, these guys, these disciples, I mean, they understood what was going on. And I believe with all my heart, as Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, and as they took the Lord's Supper, and I have it written down, the Last Supper, Matthew 26 to 30, as they observed the Last Supper together. I don't know, you know, again, it was Passover time. It was a meal. It was not uncommon for them to eat a meal and call it a Passover meal. But I believe that it was after Jesus rose from the grave. This is one of the other things that kicked in their minds. And that is, he said, take, eat. This is my body. And all of a sudden, they remembered John the Baptist one time. Didn't he say, behold, the Lamb of God, as he pointed to Jesus? And all of a sudden, I think things started to make sense, to change their lives. Again, I don't think you're going to, it's going to affect you one way or the other. I mean, if Good Friday, you say, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. I think you should. I think you ought to say it Thursday, too. In fact, you might as well start with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and just keep thanking him for dying on the cross. Fact is, he did die on the cross. Amen. Fact is, he did rise from the grave. But if you just want to dig out some other little nuggets, just something else to think about, then follow this little line, this little timeline, because it gets real exciting as we continue the study next week. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.